We have got a wonderful program for you. Can't wait to get started like a horse at the gate, pawing and ready to go. And we're going to start in a theory of evolution. We've been told, and by some of the major multicultural theologians and scholars, as they have tried to convince us that we're all one big old happy family of different races and that we are all one blood. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that can't be true, and we're going to get into those aspects tonight as we lay the foundation of a heavenly family. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an earthly family also. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to take our text and lift it right out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 14. How great are you, Yah? Well, the Bible would tell us that He is above the heavens. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Messiah, the Yahweh-Shua in the flesh body, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, and that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might in the inward man. Well, ladies and gentlemen, whether you consider the issue from a secular or biblical perspective, all humans do not, and I repeat, do not, we're going to prove it, both scientifically and with the Word, which has to be the final authority of a common ancestry, and the ideal that all humans are family is a lie propagated by the ruling Jewish establishment as they produce all of these psychiatrists and things of this nature that tell us that we all came from Adam. Well, ladies and gentlemen, biologically and scientifically speaking, we're going to prove that it is not possible for that to happen. If you look at the pure-blooded black race, the pure-blooded Asiatic race, and the pure-blooded white races, and say that they all descended from Adam and Eve, and Noah and his wife, or any other common ancestry, could Adam and Eve produce and have black, white, and Asiatic children? I don't think so. If we are in Adam's image and made in His likeness, and we bear the genetics of Adam and Eve. Well, if it's not possible for a white man and a white woman to produce a black baby, or a yellow baby, or a red baby, in some cases, why are we being told all of these truths, or they seem to be truth? They're universally accepted. One world, and the whole family is from Adam. The Bible says the whole family is from heaven. Did you know that Adam is a replenished seed of someone that was here before? And the Bible says that in the beginning that the earth became, not that it was created dark and void, because you see, Yahweh created heaven and earth, and there's no darkness in Yahweh, and so He couldn't have made the earth dark and void and desolate when He made it. It became, the Hebrew word is it became over time. So then there was a failure in the first world with a need of destructing it, and then a need of replenishing the original Adam that was here, And when he came, Adam, second Adam from heaven, he found, if you will, a large population of people already upon the earth. Now, these folks were not out of the family of heaven. Adam came from a family, as it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth. Now, there has to be a heavenly family before there's an earthly family. We have to bear the image of the heavenly before we can bear the image of the earthly. We know that the first Adam was from heaven. The Bible says he was. Well, that's the family we're going to talk about. This is the family that is separated and different from all the other beings that were already in the earth, as it's recorded in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, that Adam and Eve were a family from heaven. Now, does Yahweh have respect to persons? Well, of course he does. And you say, well, the Bible says that Yahweh doesn't have any respect to persons. Well, then let's go and divide the council here and see what the multitude of the council could bring to our understanding. Here we have Jacob and Esau. Jacob was accepted in covenant. Esau was rejected. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, that still doesn't prove that Yahweh has respect to persons because the Bible says he don't. Well, he don't have respect to persons. He has respect to persons. So it's in his power as the potter. And the Bible speaks about it in the book of Romans, in chapter 9, that the potter has power over the clay. Now, the clay cannot reply to the potter, why have you made me black? Why have you made me yellow? Why have you made me red? Or why have you made me white? And so then, the father family tree is each seed in its pure state had to have a beginning from a source, and this source could not have been Adam. Adam did not produce all the diverse seeds in the earth, because Adam was produced himself in the likeness of Yahweh. That's what the Bible said. Now, did you know, and a lot of people think this is quite strange, but did you know that the Bible said that Adam was the son of God? And if he was, then Adam is an offspring of the heavenly family. And that distinction and honor is only given to Adam. It's not given to ever Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes along. It wasn't given to any other race or any other species that was here existing before or after Adam, whatever the case may be, because in the earth, now, and the earth was without form. I'm reading now in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, Yahweh created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form. This is the English version, and I'll give you the Hebrew word to show you how it should have been translated. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Yahweh moved upon the face of the waters. Now, let me give you the real word that goes in there. It is Strong's number 776, where the English has was. It is Strong's number 1967, and that word is not was in the Hebrew, it is became. So the earth became. There was a period when the earth was created, and the Bible says that there's no darkness in Yahweh, so Yahweh couldn't have created dark, because Yahweh can't create something that's not in Him. Darkness was not a part of His repertoire, if you understand what I'm talking about. So then, the earth became void and dark. It fell in a luciferic state of angelic host and presence as man and angel enjoyed the first heaven and the first earth that pre-existed our Bible of Genesis, which is Bereshit in Hebrew, which means the beginning. Now, we're not talking about the beginning of the world that perished in darkness and became void and dark, because there was an Adam according to the Bible. If you literally take the Bible for what it says, the Adam that was here, he actually perished. He ceased to be. And so then Yahweh had to bring the Adam in spirit down to the earth, and then He had to create him and put him in an earthen body and told him to replenish. Now, to replenish, that means to replace. Now, let's see what that means. When translated, the Bible, when it's translated and interpreted correctly, it confirms the fact that Adam was not the first human. There were other people on the earth before Adam was created. That is why Cain feared other people would kill him after he was banished from the Garden of Eden, and how Cain was able to find a wife, and Cain could produce his own descendants, ladies and gentlemen, and that he could build cities and bear offspring. He had some help, ladies and gentlemen, and these people already existed in the earth that was when Cain was banished from the presence of the heavenly family. And you know why that Cain was banished? Because he wasn't from the righteous family of heaven. There was two families from heaven. One was a family of good, Elohim, and Elohim is plural for angels, or sons of Yah, as it's recorded in the book of Job. And Satan and the rebellious angels who wanted to mate with Adam. They wanted to have children through the seed of Adam. And that was forbidden by Yahweh Himself, who had told the angels that they must not procreate with Adam kind. And it was against Yahweh's will. Well, here comes Lucifer in defilement to bring back the darkness that he produced in the first world, Adam, destroying the first world, I believe, and made himself readily available to pick up in the second world, or the second man, or the second heaven, if you will, and he took up right where he left off, and he enticed the body of Adam, in this case Eve, who was a byproduct of Adam, who was the son of Yahweh, and he mated with Eve, put his seed into her womb. And therefore, Yahweh was in a predicament, a dilemma, if you will, a genetic nightmare, because we're now talking about descendants from Adam and Eve that were not in Yahweh's plans. Yahweh wanted Adam and Eve to be fruitful, not Adam and Lucifer, or Eve and Lucifer. He didn't want that. He had forbidden angels to marry. Well, just because he forbid them to marry didn't mean that they couldn't marry or wasn't capable of bringing forth seed if they did marry. And it's recorded in the great Bible warfare that ensued soon after the Garden of Eden episode. We find that Cain's children begin to be builders of great cities. Now, Cain went out east and married the wife and became a husband. And the word Cain is Strong's number, 7013. Well, 7013 happens to be the number for an Oriental race, if you look it up in your Bible. And so then, if Cain married an Oriental, then we get what is known today for the enemy's sake. We get what we call the Khazar. They're of mongrel descent or Mongolian descent. The word Cain, Genghis Khan, was really Genghis Cain. But this name was changed to hide the evidence that Genghis Cain was an offspring. Now, what did he do? Well, he did the works of his father. He was a murderer from the very beginning. Satan murdered the genetic race of Adam. He brought death down to the eternal Adam. Adam was made to live forever and to rule over the earth. And everything in the earth was to be subject to him, and he would be dominant as he lived forever. The rest of the seeds were not eternal beings. You know what Christ said? My sheep have eternal life. I know my sheep, and my sheep, the evidence here. It means that Yahweh knew his family, Adam, pre-existing. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 8, that he predestinated this Adam to be sons of Yah, the offspring, literally, of Yahweh's body, the fruit of his body. The family of Adam came from Yahweh. And so then, this Adamic race would produce a people whose characteristics were much different from the other races that are in the earth. Now, to prove that to you, we're going to look at some scriptures here in the Bible, and we're going to start with the covenant factor of the book of 1 Samuel. Let's go over there for just a moment. And we're going to look at the book of 1 Samuel, and we're going to look at some of Yahweh's children and see exactly what color that they was. And you say, well, oh, Pastor Buddy, we're all of one blood. It doesn't really matter that much because we're all of one blood. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's no scripture for that. Well, you say Acts 17:26 said that Yahweh has made us all of one blood. That's not what the Bible says in the original text. That's been placed in there by those who would like to deceive you and to make you think that we all came from one blood. But it's not so, ladies and gentlemen, as we're going to find out in the Bible in 16:12. And he sent forth, this is Jesse, sent forth, said Samuel unto Jesse, and bring your youngest son. Now remember, he had already gone through seven sons, and these seven sons didn't please Yahweh, because he told Samuel to reject the seven that appeared before him. These are Jesse's sons. And we're looking for a type here. We're looking for a family. And I'm going to prove to you that David was the biological flesh progenitor, both the seed of David and those that was related to him was right out of the bowels of Yahweh. Therefore, Yahweh had a family of beings in the earth from heaven, and that they were sojourning here on earth in a short period of time to learn obedience, because Adam sinned and Adam had to die. Adam transgressed and had to die. And so then death was brought through the disobedience of Satan, who defiled. The Bible said Adam was not deceived, but he had to bear the sins of Eve, who transgressed. It was Eve that was deceived, not Adam. But Adam loved her good enough to stay with her and to bring forth sons and daughters of his own. These would be descendants of the heavenly family, if you will. And Yahweh, in certain times and places, would intervene to charge up, or to recharge, as he said, to replenish, that he would intervene in the affairs of man. Let's look here in the 12th verse. And he sent and brought him, brought David. Now David, it describes his looks here in the Bible. A lot of people overlooked it. But he was ruddy and had a beautiful countenance, and he was good to look at. And Yahweh said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. Now, he had a ruddy complexion. In other words, he was from the seed of Adam, and the word Adam in Hebrew means to show blood up into the face. Only one people in the earth can do that, and that'll be your white Caucasian race. Well, who's the Caucasians here? Well, when you go in to fill out an application for employment, or you're asked for your color or your genetic identification marks, and each race has got one, even today, they will put black, which would be African-American, or Asiatic, or white, or Native American. Well, ladies and gentlemen, isn't it strange that only one of these could have a ruddy complexion to show blood in the face? And this was David. And David, the Bible says that Christ alluded to the great mystery, and we're going to go over here in the book of Revelation and read it for you, a very astounding scripture, if you will, in the Bible. And it talks about, here in the 22nd chapter, this is Elisha chapter, if you will, in the Bible, and it's the 16th verse. I, Jesus, Yahweh, Yeshua in the flesh body, have sent mine angel. Now, remember, the whole family in heaven and earth, according to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15, is in one name. So it's a family name. David here is fixing to have a witness because he was of ruddy complexion. He could blush, so he was a Caucasian. I have sent mine angel to testify you these things in the church. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how could the Creator, the Son of God, did you know that the Son of God was no more than the Son of Adam? An extension of the genetics of himself, because here he declares emphatically that not only is he David's father or David's offspring, he was his father. Now let me read that again. I am the root and the offspring of David. How is it possible, Pastor Buddy? Because, genetically speaking, Yahweh was the progenitor of the house of Adam, and David was a product of the Son of God, Adam. And then, if we go back to the originator of Adam, we have to say that the root of Adam was Christ. Christ is the root and the offspring of David. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know whether you know this or not. When it's translated correctly, the Bible will give you an indication that Adam was the son of Yahweh. Now, do you find that strange? Well, I don't. And the reason that I don't find it strange is because if the Bible would verify one family and by one name. Now, here's where we begin to pull the wool down to examine the sheep to find the wolf. By one name, as he introduced this family into the earth. Now, let's go to John 5:43. In John 5:43, it says that the Son of God, the Son of the Creator, the Son of the Originator of this genetic offspring of the family in heaven and the family in earth. You see, the same family that's in heaven is progenitored by one seed, and that seed is Yahweh. Adam was the son of Yahweh from the bowels of Yahweh. Cain was the seed of Satan. And so then, we are introducing two angelic seeds, one of them hybrid, and one of them true. Adam was the true son of Yahweh. There's nothing hybrid about that because it's original. But when Satan used Eve, a byproduct of Adam, and then placed his seed within her womb, then he created a hybrid race, or what is known in the Bible of Matthew chapter 13 as a tare. The enemy hath done this, it says here in the book of Matthew chapter 13, as we're going to turn there and give you just a little digression here of the fact of the tare. Did you know that the tare is a seed that was sown by a stranger, someone that was not authorized to sow a seed into the earth, and yet it happened. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And hear ye the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Now, Eve went to the wayside. She had seed sowed into her womb, and then she was impregnated again, and she had the good seed. So she was pregnant with a good seed, and she was pregnant with a bad seed. And the Bible will describe to you that this seed is like a mustard seed. Did you know a mustard seed won't mix with anything? And if it's not a mustard seed, that any other seed can be mixed and mingled, and that represents the tare. The mustard seed is what we call, the Bible describes it as, the mustard seed of faith. It is a true seed that cannot be germinated by a tear. A true seed. Something that will not mix and mingle. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Abel became the least of all of the seed sown. He was killed. He ceased to exist. Now then, here's the dilemma for Yahweh. Yahweh had to use Adam's sons as substitute because Abel was the son of Yahweh through Eve, the byproduct of Adam. So Yahweh impregnated Eve and Satan impregnated Eve. You said, well, Pastor Bunny, the Bible says here in Revelations or in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, that Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. Well, he did know her. There was no law against that because he had given him the command to be fruitful and multiply. But Adam couldn't fulfill the procreation command until after Eve, who was already pregnant with the serpent seed, or the good seed, the mustard seed here. It is the greatest among herbs and becometh the tree, so that the birds of the air, the family of heaven, can come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we know that this parable is talking about Abel here as the mustard seed, a very small seed sown and died just as soon as it was murdered by the wicked one. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, tells us that Cain was of the wicked one. Now let me repeat that. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, Cain was of the wicked one. And Yahweh answered them in the 13th chapter and the 37th verse of Matthew, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Now let me give you something here. Now, the father of all of the good seed in the earth. Now, you either make the tree good, and the fruit will be good, because a good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit, and a bad tree or a bad seed cannot bring forth good. Now, that is the paradox here. The opposites that attract. Good begets good, and evil begets evil. But as the mustard seed sown from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is the one that sowed the good seed of Abel in the womb of Eve, the mother of all living. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't say that Adam's the father of all living, does it? Eve is the mother of all living simply because she received the everlasting seed into her womb. And then she received the seed of death into her womb, and light and darkness had no fellowship, just like Jacob and Esau, as they struggled within the womb, one was a good seed and one was a bad seed. Oh my, ladies and gentlemen, how wonderful it is when the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while man slept, Adam went to sleep. His enemy came, Satan, and sowed what? He sowed tare among the wheat and went his way. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the whole warfare is about the tare and the wheat as they wrestle for superiority in the world to become servants of whatever fruit that they produce. Did you know a good tree, Adam, who was of Yahweh, the Son of God, Adam was literally in the genetics. Look at it yourself. But how is it that Yahweh himself said that he was the root of David? How could Yahweh be the root of David? He would have to exist before David. He would have had to bring forth seed. And here Christ said, I am the man that sows the good seed. He answered and said unto them in the 37th verse, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Well, this is Yahweh. The one we call Christ Jesus in the New Testament said, I am the root of David. Now, how could he be the root of David and yet be the offspring? Well, he progenitorated the seed, and then he chose to become a man. Very simple. And he came through the flesh of David. Let's read on here. As we go to the 38th verse, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Now, I just gave you that scripture there, that the family in heaven, the family of the kingdom, is in one name. This name is above every name in heaven and earth. It's a family name. It's nothing to be laughed at. It's nothing to be taken lightly. The name of Yahweh is above every name and above every name that is named, whether it be in heaven and earth, and there is certainly no salvation in any other name under heaven to be saved in. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a clear-cut choice. Now, the devil, just like he sowed the bad seed, sows bad ideals and bad concepts. And he has moved people to blaspheme and to cast the name of Yahweh down and still prosper. And then they'll tell you that they've been so blessed by casting away Yahweh. No marvel, ladies and gentlemen, if the wicked prosper by casting down the only name that's got salvation. And it's a truth reckoning of Acts 4:11 and 12. There is none other name under heaven given among men that you can be saved. And this is the family name I'm talking about. This is the name that was cast down by the fall of Adam. The family name became a name drugged through the mud and the filth and the mire and the unbelief of the satanic illusions that Satan can put into your mind to believe a lie and be damned. And the Bible says, beware, lest you also be deceived, or let this promise slip, that when you hear the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in your heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Many have turned aside into vain jangling. They stutter when you approach them with the truth. And the Bible said the gospel will stop every mouth. What does it mean when we pronounce the Heavenly Father's name? Well, ladies and gentlemen, even for those who have forgotten Him, those who cannot remember that they're hewn from the rock, and this stone is a stone of stumbling to them that don't understand the name. For the field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them, did you know what the word sow means? It means to mingle. The enemy sowed the bad sperm into the womb of Eve, and Eve became responsible for bearing the children of the wicked into this world. Therefore, they look like, they talk like, And they act like they say and do not. They're hypocritical. And they are so deceiving that the Bible says that they would deceive the very elect if possible. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's not possible to deceive the elect if they have studied themselves to be approved. Most people want to get this without paying the price. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to wear the crown of knowledge, you're going to have to study. You're going to have to pray. And you're going to have to fast. And you're going to have to contend for the faith. You can't have the world in one hand and the understanding of truth in the other. You can't serve two masters. You'll love one and despise the other, or you'll cling to one and throw the other away. And a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. If he's being cast or tossed to and fro, the Bible says, like a ship with no rudder. They're upon the wicked sea of confusion. They're drifting without an anchor. They have no stabilizer, no rudder to direct their vessel into the harbor of safety and the kingdom of heaven. And the good children are the seed of the kingdom. And you'll know a tree by its fruit, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of people have started out and they have shipwrecked their understanding and their faith and their testimony and been silenced by their unbelief as they try to convince themselves that they're right and convince them that will hear them. Ladies and gentlemen, from such, and turn away. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned. Now who's these tares? Well, they're not children of Yahweh. Because a good tree cannot bring forth a tare. It's utterly impossible. Now we know the color of David. He was ruddy. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one race in the earth that can show blood in the face, and that's your white Caucasian race. Where did these Caucasians come from? Well, on Trellin, the magnificent, amazing race, the title of our message tonight, The Amazing Race. You've heard about amazing grace. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about race. If you take the G off of grace, you've got my message tonight. It's about a race of people, a family of people in the earth called by the name of Yahweh or the heavenly family's name. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, that wasn't his name, and I can prove it. Well, then you're going to have to tear out 6,823 times of the original language that said his name was YHWH. You can't get over that mountain. It's too high. The stone is a rock of offense. And if it falls upon you, you become a victim of the stone. It'll grind you to powder. If you deny it, well, he remains faithful because he can't deny himself. Your unbelief will not undo the family of heaven. It's going to stand. And when he comes back, and the enemy that sowed the tares is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels, and therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. For the Son of Man shall send forth his angels. You know what the Bible said? Whether we or an angel come preaching any other gospel than that which is written, and yet people today want to change Yahweh's word. There's nothing wrong with the original scriptures, ladies and gentlemen. It's that lying pen of the scribes who have altered and changed his name to Lord. L-O-R-D. Now, why did they want to do that? Well, if you go to the reference to Strong's to Lord, you'll find it's a direct reference to Baal, B-A-A-L. Baal is the Lord of the sky, the Lord of the flies, or those that fly by. And the Bible said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against rulers of darkness in high places that would convince even the very elect to deny this gospel and this truth of 6,823 times alone in the Bible, his name in the Hebrew language. Now, if it's translated Lord there, and you want to change it to something else, that's your problem, because you've denied the origination, the original seed, if you will, of the Word. The Word that was made flesh spoke His name into existence before the Word ever become flesh. And the Word was not His name, irregardless. And Jesus was not His name, irregardless. The name was the name of the Father and the heavenly family. It is a family of sons and offspring of the good seed, which is Yahweh, and Yahweh's sheep will hear His voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us in many places about this great family that lives in the earth. Now, who is this family? What is this family? And what is His name? Well, let's go to Psalms. Let's go to 68 and verse 4. In Psalms 68:4, we have a word that declares that praise Him, all you saints. Praise Him in a song and praise Him in a dance. Praise Him by His name, Yah. Praise Him by His name, what? Yah. Y-A-H. In the original scriptures. Now, in your Bible, it has been translated Jah, J-A-H. That is a lion, the pen of the scribes, who, when the J came in the 15th century, they added it to the English version and changed the Y of the Hebrew to a J in the English. Their changing doesn't alter the origination of the seed, because remember, the name is a mustard seed name. Oh yeah, it's the smallest name. It's insignificant. It's not loved. It's not adored. It's not appreciated. It's not upon the lips of the wicked. Matter of fact, the wicked teach you not to say the name. They want you to substitute. And many substitutes have come in, and they come in to blind and to deceive even the very elect in wood, if it was possible. Let's go to Psalms 132 to prove to you the lesson that we got tonight of His flesh and of His bone. The progenitor of the family in earth was Yahweh. No other God. Yahweh. Yahweh hath sworn in truth unto David. This is 132 Psalms, the 11th verse. Read it, ladies and gentlemen. Yahweh hath sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If your children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I teach them, and they will teach it to their children, and then their children shall also sit upon the throne forevermore. That means that we are as a family of kings and priests that will rule upon the earth as masters of eternal beings who are above and way beyond the seed of the serpent or the tares of the field. Ladies and gentlemen, everything here is temporal. If it's not eternal, it will perish. But Yahweh said, my sheep are alive forevermore, and I give them eternal life. Neither shall they perish, and neither shall anyone take anything away from them. Ladies and gentlemen, when life is given to you, no one can take your life. When Yahweh gives you eternal life, no one can pluck them out of the Father's hand. St. John 10:28. And when the Son gives you eternal life, no one can pluck you out of the Son's hand. The Son's hand and the Father's hand was on the same body. And in 10:30 he said, I and my Father are one. Now that brought a lot of disrespect to the oneness of the Godhead. But you know what the book of Colossians says here in our closing? As we go over to the book of Colossians, and we're going to go over to a very interesting scripture here in the book of Colossians, where it declares that a family, again, is in heaven and upon the earth at the same time. You see, ladies and gentlemen, even the pattern of things, the things that are to come, are patterned after the things that are in heaven. Well, if that's true, then we're going to read. In Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn. Oh, right there it is. The image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Ladies and gentlemen, no wonder he chose the firstborn to be his sons, because they're a byproduct of his very genetic. I don't know where this is too deep for you tonight. For by him, not them, not us, but by him were all things created that are in heaven. There it is. And that are in earth. There it is. A family in heaven and earth that is called by the name of Yahweh. This family is a family, and I'm honored to be in it. Oh, yes. It's not recognized. Not many people would give glory to the name of Yahweh to honor it. Most people will spit in the same breath as it's spoken in their ears. Most people have cast out the name of Yahweh for some fictitious man-made name out of the 23rd chapter of their imagination. They go a-whoring. Israel has long been associated with a whoring spirit. Satan entices them to deny the name of Yahweh and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Ladies and gentlemen, whether they be thrones that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Here is the conclusion of the matter. For he is before all things. He is the root of David. That means he was before David. And he's the offspring of David. That means that he came through flesh body, through the flesh of David. And David was an Ephraimite. Out of the firstborn birthright tribe, everything has to be done in decency and in order, ladies and gentlemen. And he's before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, or the ecclesia in Greek. Who is the beginning? There it is again. The progenitor, the root, the firstborn from the dead. Woo! My heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, what a powerful testimony. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. So the firstborn Son of God, Yahweh in a flesh body, rose conquering death, hell, and the grave, and in all things that he would have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father, the Spirit, that in him, that is in the Son, the flesh, all fullness dwell. So tonight, the Godhead bodily, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Not we us or them. But the Father reconciled the family in one name, and by one name we're all baptized into one body. Isn't it wonderful? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to give you one more scripture here in the book of Colossians, and this mystery of the evidence that Yahweh would have the preeminence in the Godhead bodily, for he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And tonight you got my message of the amazing race. Not grace. Amazing race. The Father cannot deny himself. And to deny you if you are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, he would have to deny himself. And the Father is not going to lose one of his children. Praise Yahweh. If you'd like to write me tonight, I'm live here on WWRB 3.185 Around the World Clear Channel, going throughout the earth tonight. The voice of Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call, brought to you courtesy of those who love Yahweh and support this ministry and their tithes and their offerings. I need your help. If you'd like to write me tonight, or if you'd like to call me and say, Pastor Buddy, I just believe in the bottom of my heart that I'm one of Yahweh's children. I believe he's my Father. And you'd like to write me, simply write, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, quickly, if you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight here on WWRB 3.185 Around the World Clear Channel. If you'd like to call me, you can call me immediately after the radio program as I'm live here on Monday night. Every Monday night, and soon probably will be on WWRB with more radio time coming up very soon. So we'll keep you posted on that. You can call me. Area code 423-626-2172. Now that's Pastor Buddy. Area code 423-626-2172. You can write me, as I said, at Post Office Box 2284. That's in New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the old clock on the wall is caught up with Pastor Buddy tonight, and I just enjoyed being with you. I send you my covenant racial greetings around the world tonight if you're one of Adam's sons that can bless you. You're one of my brothers and sisters, and I greet you in the magnificent and the magnanimous, the most holy and the righteous name above every name in the earth, Yahweh. And may the peace of Yah dwell peacefully upon you. And join us tonight as we all praise Yahweh.
How great are you, Yah? Your loving kindness is filling my heart as I sing. How great are you, Yah?
Good. Praise God.